to thank Miss Allie. This is her last Sunday. She's already started school, but she was gracious enough to lead one more week here. So we appreciate Miss Allie. And she's got all her studying. Pray for her brain. Amen. Amen. You know, you've been in school, it's a lot to load to study and, you know, all that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to continue on this purity series. Now, at the end of the month, the last Sunday of this month, we're having a Sunday evening service at 6 on cleaning out your life. How many have some things you know you need to turn over to the Lord? Okay, 5 of you. 6 of you. 7, 8, there's 10, 12. How many have some areas you know that you need to turn over to the Lord? There's always something there that we can give to the Lord. And how many knows that when we release those things, it gives room for God to move? How many knows that God is, the Holy Spirit is the director. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But He also wants us to make room in our hearts to receive what He has. And if we're full of self, how can we be full of the Holy Ghost? That's why we die to self and live unto Christ. We'll have a couple trash cans set up here. Now, you may not have a golden idol. I shared this on Wednesday. You may not have a golden idol at your home. I mean, if you do, bring it in and throw it away. But maybe there's something that you're dealing with. You can jot that down on a piece of paper and throw it in the can. Make it a symbolic thing of what you're doing in your heart. Now, I won't read them. I'll throw them away. Are you with me? It's not a matter of knowing your stuff. It's a matter of us getting it right before the Lord. Because if we want a powerful year, we have to start with purity. I said we have to start with purity. We know the scripture, you be holy because He's holy. That's still a command to the church. Do you know that? Listen, it's a privilege to be a Christian. I said it's a privilege to be a Christian. Where would we be without Jesus? We need Him. We need His power. And we need, that leads me to the next area. When we walk more holy, we'll have more power. The miracles need to be done on the streets. And this becomes the testimony house. Come on. At our workplace, at our schools, at area, God's there for that. And the last thing is that people need to be touched and reached. Somehow God reached us, amen? Now, I don't have time to go into this too deep today, but in Revelation, He says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jeff, if you stand for a minute. I stand at the door and knock. Here's what the Holy Spirit is doing for every individual. If you'll open the door, He will come in. How many knows that we have to consciously, now how many ever heard somebody knock at your door, you peeked out and like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. 3, 4, 5, amen? You heard the knock, but you didn't want to deal with the stuff. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit is at work. Sometimes we know there's a knock, but we don't want to deal with who's ever behind by the door. So as we pray in the Holy Spirit, it brings down strongholds. It brings down those things that we can open up. Because when you opened the door and said yes, you got your life right. Amen. You got saved. And the one that you always needed in your house has finally came in. And when He came in, guess what He did? He began to sweep out so there was room. Oh, I'm preaching now. But there are little areas in our hearts that different veins, different chambers that we need to allow Him to work in. When I got saved, I got a right spirit, but I still had flesh. How many knows this part of my mind still needs to be renewed? Amen? But you ever notice that when your heart gets clean, so does your mouth? Oh, say amen. How many knows it's a process? So in your witness, thank you, Jeff. In your witness, I want you to pray, Lord, I know, Holy Spirit, You're knocking on hearts. I know You are. Let's pray that they open the door and receive. So if we have purity working, we have power working, the next thing is God's going to bring in the people. There are a lot of people that need to be saved. I said there's a lot of people that need to be saved. God wants to save billions upon billions. Somebody's going to have to pay that price. Somebody's going to have to be those persons. Deuteronomy 7, are you there? I want you to look at verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a what? You are a what? The Word of God describes you and speaks. You are a holy people. When God chose Israel out, He says, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. When I look at the church today, we are a people of God. It says this, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be people for Himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. When I look at that, we're such privilege to be Christians. In the New Testament, in Antioch, they were called first to be called Christians. I love being called a Christian. I am not ashamed of it. That means Christ-like. There's a big standard to live up to. Man, I was lost and I was a heathen, but now I'm found. Thank God for that. When I look today, He's called us to be a holy people. We can't be holy in the natural. We just can't say, you know, if I don't do this and I don't do this, I don't do this, I'm holy. That may be part of it, but it's a heart change. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, the other things begin to drop off. I've learned this. Christianity is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's a matter of living for the Lord. And I only give up the things that are killing me anyways. Life came into my life. The truth is that if we could all back up and we're all 3 years old and we gave our hearts to Christ and lived every day radically for Him, where would we all be today? But since we can't go back, we can start now and God can restore the years that have been eaten up. I don't like barren years in people's lives. Let's serve the Lord all the days of our lives. Amen? If you're taking notes, in 1 Corinthians 1:2, it says, to the church of God which is in Corinth, those He has sanctified by Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So not only are we called to be a holy people, we're called to be saints. I love that. That God's sanctifying power, that you may not have your name on a church building, you may not be Saint Peter, but you know what? Who you are is Saint whatever your name is. That is cool. That I'm called to be saints. Hallelujah. I'm called to be like, well, then it's a collection of saints. That's awesome. Notice that we go from death to life. The enemy doesn't like you to know who you are in Him. He's lost. You know what? Satan's going to end up in hell burning forever and ever. I won't, because I know the Lord. Isn't that cool? There's no redemption for them that left their first estate. That's why He wants to drag as many as He can with them. That's why he gets people to hate God. We need to see the amplification. Now, how many of you here ever went over to a friend's house? They knew you were coming, but they didn't answer the door when you rang it or you knocked. Okay? I had that. I had some friends that I'm going over. They forgot I'm coming over. Now, in this particular home, doorbells are really a newer invention, but they used to be door knockers. Amen? Older homes and big doors had big ones. I remember going to his house, he had this big knocker, and I was wham, 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 and I knocked on that door until he came to the door. I go, dude, I've been knocking for you. He goes, oh, I forgot you were coming over. I thought it was later. I wasn't going to be denied. Say amen. Well, you know what? Holy Spirit, ramp up the knocking. Ramp up, make it loud, God. Let it be that they have to constantly go, oh, God, I don't want you. Say amen. He's not willing that any should perish. I really believe God wants our relationship to be like, now, how many of you know what the love look is? You're looking at your family. You got a husband or wife. They can look at you, and you know what they're thinking even before they speak a word. I call that the love look. You have a communication without words, all right? Now, how many of you parents ever looked at your kids and they knew exactly what mom and dad are thinking? I want to have a relationship like that with the Lord, that I can just even read His eyes and know what He's thinking. Amen? I want to have that relationship with Him. I have His word. I'm called to be holy. I'm called to be a saint. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, if you're taking notes. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people to proclaim Him, the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice I'm called. Now I'm a chosen generation. I'm holy. I'm peculiar. I'm a royal priesthood. And you know what? Now I'm a chosen generation. God didn't make a mistake when he chose you. He didn't make a mistake when he said, I'm going after you. We have purpose today. We have purpose in our hearts that God said, listen to me. God said, I want to use you and work through you. Well, who am I in this? You're a chosen generation. We look at our inadequacies. God says, I've equipped you with every good work. I really feel God would rather have you weak concerning those things so he can strengthen you. It's when we know it all and we can do it all, we kind of miss out on what his power is about. It's like always a step of faith. He'd rather use somebody that, hey, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to trust you to help me. Amen? It's those he can equip with power. When I look at Moses, he was just like us all. Do you know what Moses said to God? I don't speak very well, so can my brother help me speak? God said, who made your mouth? Still wasn't enough. Okay, take your brother Aaron with you. But if you'll notice later on in Moses' life, he spoke. He learned. Sometimes God will give us a little boost or a booster seat to get us going. The truth is, one of the greatest leaders was afraid. Come on. I mean, God said he can use anyone. It's us placing ourselves. What I appreciate about Moses is that he went. Say amen. All of us in here have a dirty, sinful nature. In Isaiah 59, verse 3, says, our hands are defiled with blood, our fingers with iniquity, our lips have spoken lies, and our tongue is utterly perverse. That's a true representation of man. In Matthew 7, verse 23, I'm sorry, Mark 7, 23, these things come out of a heart from an evil heart and defiles the man. In James 3, 6, the tongue is a world of fire, a set apart of members consuming the whole body, and no man can tame the tongue. But when you get Christ in you, you know what? Your speech can change. We go from four-letter words to five-letter words. Glory to God. And if you'll ever, how many have ever slipped after the fact? Said something like, oop. How many ever looked back at it and went, man, wow. Hopefully you were in a company that was mature enough to handle it. Right? But how many ever looked at it and goes, you know what? There's some areas I still need to work on. On Wednesday nights, we're doing a series on wrestling. Not big time wrestling with, you know, whatever. But we're going to be dealing with wrestling with our thought life. Wrestling with our emotions on Wednesday nights. I mean, is that once you get saved, you still got a battle going on here. How many want to get victory in your head? We got victory in our spirit. I want the rest of me to come along. Amen. Now, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. To purify our lives, we need this. We need purification. And God's able to purify. In the church, there's not enough messages on this. I'm telling you. We've made the church a collective group to get together and say, hey, you're good, I'm good, we're all good, let's go this way. When God wants the church to be pure and holy, I got some areas I still need God to work on. Woe unto the church that doesn't have the Holy Spirit with conviction. Here's how I know the Holy Spirit's in the church. Not because you can just speak in tongues. That's nice. But the Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin, of judgment, and righteousness to come. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Those things we have to walk in. That means as a church we have to change. Amen? I'm not talking about the giftings of the Holy Spirit. We need all of those. But the truth is that in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, are you there? Therefore, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need to rid ourselves from contaminants. Amen? Now, at our house, we have well water. I don't like well water. Okay, I'm being honest with you. Our water in where we live has a high iron content. No matter what, we got water softeners, we got water purifiers, we got all that. But I can look at the shower head and I can still say some gets by there because it turns a little bit of tinge of orange. It is what it is. That's where it's at. For me and my wife, we can't drink that type of water because it does things to me, all right? That's just a true fact. So we buy bottled water. That's just reality. Well, that's part of it. Well, my body can't handle that particular thing. Even though the water looks clean, it's not pure. Sometimes we can look clean, but we're not pure. Lord, purify me. I want to be clean. I want every bit clean. I don't want what Jesus said. You just clean the outside of the cup, but inside, man, it's dirty. You look good on the outside, but inside, you need to change. We need to change internally. We need to match the same spirit that we have in us. Notice that it's a filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit's dirty, but here's a true fact. If I just bombard my spirit full of things that aren't godly, and I go to pray, I can think about all that instead of focusing on the Word. It's amazing how sensitive the Spirit is within us that we have to sometimes put a guard on that. I don't need that. Even a negative comment sometimes, we can dwell on that for a while. Amen? We have to, and believe me, don't be led down a path that somebody's going to bring you down either. Meet the need, but sometimes they may be totally wrong. You got to speak the truth in love. Sometimes you got to bring a little correction and say, no. Because if our emotions are going this way, we can go with that. That's good preaching, amen? In Ephesians 5, verse 26, it says, wash yourself in the Word. It says, they might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the Word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This Word is a cleansing to this brain. And there isn't a person on the planet that doesn't need their brain washed. Not strange stuff or you can't think. I give people, when they do this, well, you're just brainwashed. I actually agree with them. You're absolutely right. My brain needed to be washed in every facet. It changes the whole conversation. I'm not strange. I finally got the truth and it set me free. You're absolutely right. This brain needs to be washed, every bit of it. More than ever, we live in a society that you can be bombarded anytime, anywhere. Come on. Amen? Now, none of us lived in the 1800s. Well, maybe some of you here, all right? But none of us were there. Can you imagine a day where there wasn't television, there wasn't radio, there wasn't any of these means that we have today? Can you see how much more time you could spend in reading a word? That's when letters meant something. Come on. Now we have all the technology. We can do this and this, this at a rapid rate. But our growth in the word has not increased. Come on, we got to get back to that place that God says, I wrote it in a book. I don't care how you get it, read it. It's nice having it on your screen or on your phone. That's nice, but you still got to put it in there. And I believe this with all my heart. There are days you need unplugged days. There are days you just turn it all off because the 1,000 channels you just got, as most of them are reruns anyways. Say amen. Come on. Men, when relationships are hindered by a phone, the phone's got to go. I have nieces and nephews. Here's what happens. How you doing? Good. There's no meaningful conversation. What if the Lord gets that? Hi, Jesus, you're awesome. I'll be right with you. Did you get my text? Sent you an email before. Come on, we can't treat him that way. He's Lord of all. He knows all about every technology, ones that we can't even figure out. How about this? I spoke the universe into existence. You think you know so much? Maybe you need to hang with me. I'll teach you a few things. How about this? I call them all by name. Oh, man. We're talking about, it's going to be so fascinating in heaven, just learning some wisdom from God. Let alone his power and his presence. Oh, just being with him is going to be unbelievable. Heaven's going to be new every single day. And I know there's no days and nights. I understand all that. But every day is going to be new. Hallelujah. And in my heart, I want to learn everybody's name in heaven. Every single person. And since I got a forever to learn it, Praise the Lord. Give me the increase. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to go, yeah, I saw you by the golden street over there next to the prophet Jeremiah's home. Amen. No, come on. You want to know somebody, right? At least that's my heart on it. In Exodus 19, verse 11, it says, concentrate yourself today. We need to start looking at our life, saying, you know, even when I come to service, I need to consecrate myself. In Exodus 19, verse 11, it says, be ready on the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down from Mount Sinai in sight of all the people. There's expectation there, but if you don't position yourself, you're not ready. We need to be ready. All of you may have a battle before you come. Come and be ready. We need to be ready because we're meeting the Lord. We're just doing it collectively. We have our individual times and our collective times. To me, the power of the Holy Spirit should be more evident because there's more of us in the same room. You have the same Holy Ghost I do. Amen? The worship team should never have to engage us to the place where we're worshipers. We're already worshipers. We're just adding to what we're already worshiping. Amen? Now, there are giftings and abilities. I appreciate there are. This awesome people can sing. But we need to enter in like never before. Amen? When I look today, we need to apply some oil. In Exodus 40, verse 9, you said, take the anointing oil and anoint all the tabernacles. It shall be holy. Every utensil, each one shall be holy. We have to apply some oil. On Wednesday nights, I shared a little bit on wrestling, that in ancient times, they used to cover themselves with oil before they went into the arena because it was harder to grab a hold of somebody saturated with oil. Same way in this room. You need to be oiled up by the Holy Ghost, an anointing upon you, so it's hard for the enemy to even grab a hold of you. Come on. When you're dry, you're easy to be held to. Now, some of the masters will attest to this. We had this game where we greased a watermelon. We actually covered it with Vaseline. I mean, thick Vaseline. All over the whole watermelon. We had two teams in the water, in shallow end, and you had to carry the watermelon over to an area, and that would be the goal. Well, you know how hard it is to hold on to something that's full of Vaseline, and you're in the water, because the water isn't taking it off. So you'd grab it, and it'd squirt through, and you'd grab it, and you couldn't hold on to it. Somebody would push on it, it'd fall out of your hands. So I thought the game was going to be boring because no one was scoring. It was just hard. You couldn't throw it because by then, everybody was full of Vaseline. And the more you got it on you, the harder it was. Are you hearing me? So I said, well, how are they going to do it? So they finally got creative. A couple of guys had some longer shirts, and they cradled the watermelon, and they came it over. They got a couple goals. It was fun to watch. But when everyone came out, there was a certain amount of Vaseline on everyone. But I also noted it was only those who participated too. You can come to church and not participate. I want you all sopping full of oil by the time you make it to the door. That means we're all engaged in there. The anointing that's on the worship team should saturate. The anointing on the greeter at the door should saturate. You should be saturated with oil to face a world that could care less about you. It's not enough to go on a little bit of oil. Listen to me, your car motor will run for a while on a little bit of oil. It'll start to do wear, but when it dries out, your motor's going to seize. That's kind of what happens with the enemy. He kind of lets you leak out, leak out, leak out. You're still running, leak out, until you seize up. God doesn't want you to seize up. There's enough anointing there, amen? How many said we need to be full of it? Hallelujah. Come on. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was full of the Spirit when he went out anywhere. We can't anywhere. Any outreach we do, any life group we have, you have to be saturated because the people that are coming in, chances are they may be a little dry. They need that anointing upon them. You know what? It rubs upon them. Hallelujah. There's enough eking out. Now, here's what Jesus said. Make sure your lamps are full and your wicks are trimmed so you can burn bright in the last days. Because a smoking wick, it fills up the room and it's useless. but I want to make sure it's enough. How about this? The world will say, give me some of your oil. You can't give the oil to them. They have to get it for themselves. Jesus is the only source. You can lead them to there. Come on. Oh, that's good preaching today. You enjoying this morning? We need to practice purity. Well, that seems pretty legalistic. No, you need to practice purity. Back to 2 Corinthians 7:1, since you have these promises, cleanse yourself from all. We need to perfect holiness. That means our separate ourselves from worldly influences. How? In the fear of God, in the reverence of Him, in holiness. Since you love the Lord, you want to do this stuff. Not out of legalistic duty. No, I want to appear because He's holy. I want to be holy. That's a great statement to make out of our mouths. It's powerful when we decide. Since we're a holy nation, our minds needs to be transformed in Romans 12, verse 2. Come on, transform this by the renewing of our mind. How many here have ever read a scripture and then read it again and God gave you illumination for it? How many says that's part of the Holy Spirit? He leads you into all truth. Truth is something that is expanded on continually. Lord, teach me your ways. But if it's not working in here, where is it working? Well, I got a nice big Bible on my counter. A few years ago, people used to have the family edition. Remember the family edition? It was the size of a house. Sometimes it had a perch where it was. Amen? That's nice. It looks good as a nice centerpiece. But you know what? You got to read that puppy. Wear out the family Bible. Because it's in me. Amen? I made somebody a promise one time, and it still holds true today. If you'll wear out your Bible because you've read it, studied from it, wrote notes in it, highlighted it, and it wears out, I'll get you a new one. I'm not talking about throwing it down in the ground, putting it in the water, say, Pastor, buy me a new one. I'm talking about reading it to the place where it wears out. Amen? Amen? This morning, Jeff talked about pursuing faith, that you have to have faith in these areas. If God says this, and then this is what your mind says, you trust God. Now, Abraham is 99 years old, and Sarah is 90, and God promised them they're going to have a kid for themselves. How many in here at 99, you may not be all that anymore? We're all adults in here. Say amen. You're just not all that anymore. Amen? Those younger days are a little bit gone. And now she's 90. Come on, not too many moms want to be 90. It's hard bouncing a little junior at 90. True? And yet he didn't stagger at the promises of God. Now he got in the flesh with Hagar. He took the opinion, yeah, here, just take. Maybe God said you can have a child through her. And what does he go? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. My wife says, there is no way under the sun I'm giving some other lady to you so you can have a kid by her. She's going, how many ladies are going, no way, it's not happening. Amen? Why didn't he go, no, it's you, honey. It's just you. You're the awesome one. God's going to, no, that wasn't his answer. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, yeah. But he staggered not. Then all of a sudden, an angel shows up. By this time next year, you're going to have a child. Sarah laughs. She overheard the conversation. And God called it out, said, did you laugh? No, I didn't laugh. It's amazing when God puts his hand on it, how soon we turn away. And it happened, true? Lord, let me have that. If you speak a word, you're going to bring it to pass. I'm not stuck between two opinions. I'm not trying to get in the flesh to have it happen. That's what happens too often with Christians. God gives them a promise. They don't wait the promise out and they get in the flesh in the meantime, thinking they can help to it or add to it. Amen? In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, we need to position our passion. It says, flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, for on all those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. Position your path. Flee some things that, listen, you know are going to bring you down. I'm not going there. You have to position yourself and say, you know what? If you were tempted before you were saved in this area, you're probably going to be tempted again in this area. The difference is you've got a different spirit now. And I'm going to crucify that area until it's no longer a temptation. Satan may try to bring a thought by your head, but you can deal with that. No, I'm taking that thought captive. Some of you, he's tempting you with things you got set free from years ago. Don't go back to it. It's just a temptation of the enemy. Position your passions. Amen? I've got a couple more. You need to punctuate your commitment. What I mean by that is evaluate your faithfulness. Start to put a signal on there. Say, man, here's something. That's what I appreciate about Pastor Robert. He was a real Christian. And when he said it, he would do that. How much we need to put that stamp on that? If somebody can't tell whether you're serious or not, we have to change that. If our word means nothing, then we have to work on that. I have a couple of questions for you. Do you possess the right values? Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man abounds in blessing. Amen? How about this? Do you care about the interests of others? Do you live with integrity in an unbelieving world? Do you keep your promises? Do you develop God-given gifts? Do you obey his commands? All these things are put in a punctuation mark. And how about this? Do you pass on what you've learned? Well, let me be this person. There's a real battle going on. On Wednesday nights, we're dealing with this in Ephesians 6:12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness. That's not going to change. Most of the church is ill-equipped to do any battle at all, let alone even living for the Lord. We got to work on that. We got to say, no, as for me and my house, I'm going to do this. Amen? My father-in-law is in this room. He's right there. His name is Dan. Wave your hand there, Dan. Many don't know you're my father-in-law. And when Dan promises me something to do, he delivers the mail. It's like clockwork. How many of that? That's something that we all need. I'm not saying you don't have it, but you have to look and say, I'm going to punctuate this area. Boop, it's done. Because that's what God has done in me. I need that in myself. As a church, we have to move more in this arena. How many want to be holy because he's holy? How many because he's holy, I want to be that way? Notice it moves away all the do's and don'ts. Oh, man, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I can't do this, and I'm not going to have any fun anymore. I have more fun as a Christian than I ever did as a worldly person. The truth is that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on. And not only that, the eternal benefits are incredible. True? In heaven, you're not going to be broke either. We won't be standing in line going, Jesus, I hope you'll feed me. Lord, my clothes are wearing out. Can you kind of chip a little my way? How many of us that isn't even going to enter the picture? How whatever you wear, God's going to say it's good. If there's real food to eat, it's going to be awesome. I read there's a marriage supper of the Lamb, so I have to believe there'll be a little dining there. To me, it's the only thing that we really do good together as a church is eat. So God's going to gather all the church together and say, you guys done this good? We'll start with that. You guys got that down. Amen? But I think to myself, listen, if people can still cook there, there'll be some good chefs. Yeah. Hallelujah. There will be flowers in heaven. What you see on the earth is a copy of what heaven is really is. Sometimes people think heaven is just this floating cloud that's going to be like filled up and we're not going to have any room. It's not like that at all. God's gave me a glimpse of the new Jerusalem that will descend. I had an opportunity when I had a message on heaven. He gave me a glimpse of those gates. And it's unbelievable. There are one giant pearl. Not like what you think today. There's 12 gates that lead into that city. It's so perfect. And there's precious stones that are laid there. You can read them in Scripture. More than we've ever seen. Listen, God spilled the rest of it out on the planet. He's got the authentic with him. Amen? That's why when Jesus took on flesh, he left so much to take on our limitations. Since he became sin, I should no longer become sin. I should become righteousness. It's totally different now. I don't want to be what I used to be. I want to be what he wants me to be. Church, I want to go there together. If you'll go there together, I make a guarantee, you'll be more like Christ by the end of this year than you were before. As your pastor, that brings me great joy. I don't do this because I have to. I get to. It's never serving people out of drudgery or like compulsion. No, it's like, Lord, I thank you. I want to be more like you in all that I say or do. I'll close with this. Most people don't want a pastor. They just want a friend. That's nice. But a pastor will look over your needs and feed the sheep. A pastor isn't like a hireling. Amen? I'm not that person. I'm a pastor. I don't make any bones different than that. That's what God's called me to be. And I want to be a good one. I really do. I want to see a lead in paths of righteousness. Because personally, I'll be held accountable for what I did while in the body. I want to do it with joy. Amen? How many want to be more like him? Let me see your hand. Then look at that commitment and say, this is the year. I'm going to ask you to consider some areas that you may be struggling with. You can voice it or you can put it on a piece of paper or whatever. Bring it in and make that declaration. I'm cleaning out my house. He told him in the Old Testament, sanctify yourself. In 3 days, I'm coming. Well, I'm here to say, sanctify yourself. He's coming. God is coming. I said, God is coming. He's going to be coming to service. I stand at the door and knock. Lord, it's welcome. Come in, God. There's some of you knocking on hearts. God, come in. Let's prepare the way of the Lord. Let's shore up areas. There's an area that you get tripped up in, it's time to focus some prayer on that. I'm going to get victory in this area. I've seen God set people free instantly, and I've seen God set people free in progression. Either way, they're set free. Thanks be to God. God will always work it out. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time. But Lord, we declare today, God, we want to be holy as you're holy. Now make that personal. Talk to him. Ask him, Lord, I want to be holy. And in his gentle way, he'll work in areas. He'll speak to you what you're doing well. And he'll say, here's an area to work on. Be obedient to that. Lord, I want to be pure and holy as you're holy. Help me, Lord Jesus. Lord, in every area to be like you. I'm called to be a saint. I'm called to be holy. I'm called to be a royal priesthood. I'm called to be that. And Lord, you made that call upon all of us. Help us to fulfill those areas. Lord, your blessing upon this congregation. Lord, meet every need in each house. Bless as they go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. These altars will be open. If you need additional prayer, maybe there's an area you're struggling with. We have people to pray with you here. Don't leave without the Lord. Amen. Walk saturated so you're hard to hold. Hallelujah. And the anointing can go on somebody else. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you later on. Amen.